Welcome back to Implement and Manage Storage, the Storage Administration and Architecture track for the Azure Administrator Certification, the one Microsoft labels AZ-104. This is episode 1 of 13, the very start of our journey. Today, we lay the foundation. By the end, you'll be able to name the core storage services, picture how everything nests together, build any storage address in your head, and talk sensibly about the limits you need to design around. No screen required, just you, me, and a clear mental map. Let's begin. So what is Azure Storage really? Think of it as Microsoft's cloud storage platform, a place where your data lives that you can reach from anywhere over the web. Everything you store sits inside something called a storage account, and you talk to it over standard secure web protocols, that's HTTP, and its secure version, HTTPS, using a REST application programming interface. There are also ready-made client libraries for the common programming languages, so you rarely touch that raw interface yourself. Now here's a mental model that serves you all the way through this course. Azure Storage makes 5 platform promises, and I want you to memorize them with a simple mnemonic, DSSMA. The D is for durable and highly available. Microsoft keeps multiple copies of your data, and you choose how widely those copies spread across the world. We devote episode 3 just to that choice, called redundancy. The first S is for secure. All your data is encrypted at rest automatically by the service itself, with no action from you, and access is tightly controlled. We'll spend episodes 4 and onward on encryption and authentication. The second S is for scalable, built for enormous capacity and throughput. The M is for managed. Microsoft handles the hardware, the patching, and the failures, so you don't. And the A is for accessible. You can reach your storage from the web portal, command line tools, a file copy utility, a desktop browser app, and code. So again, DSSMA, durable, secure, scalable, managed, accessible. Say it out loud as you walk. Let's move to the heart of the platform, the data services. Azure Storage hosts 4 core data services, and I want you to know these 4 cold, because they're the spine of this entire module. The mnemonic is BFQT, blob, files, queue, and table. Blob storage holds objects, raw text, or binary data with no inherent structure. Think images, video and audio streaming, backups, archives, and the foundation of data lakes. When data has no rigid shape, it's a blob. Azure Files holds managed file shares, organized the familiar way, in folders and files, in a hierarchy. This is your go-to for moving an existing application to the cloud without rewriting it, for replacing an on-premises file server, and for shared configuration that many machines read. Azure Queues holds messages, small asynchronous messages, each up to 64 kilobytes, and you can have millions in a single queue. Queues let the parts of an application talk without waiting on each other, so you decouple your components. And Azure Tables holds entities, simply collections of key and attribute pairs. It's a schemaless, NoSQL-style store, great for flexible metadata, address books, and device data. A quick terminology note, because older material can confuse you. Identity in Azure is now called Microsoft Entra ID, not the older Azure Active Directory name. The blob access tiers are hot, cool, cold, and archive. And while Microsoft now documents the table service under the Cosmos database umbrella, the classic table service inside a storage account still exists, and that classic version is exactly what this certification means when it says table. Now, around these 4 core services sit some related storage services. Know what they are, but you won't operate them here, and they are not general data services living inside a standard storage account. There's Azure Managed Disks, virtual hard drives for your virtual machines, built on top of a blob type we'll meet shortly. There's Azure Elastic Storage Area Network, a fully managed SAN reached over the ISCSI protocol for large, input-output intensive databases. There's Azure Container Storage, which orchestrates storage volumes for Kubernetes and stateful containers. And there's Azure NetApp Files, enterprise-grade network-attached storage for demanding, low-latency workloads like SAP HANA. Picture these 4 orbiting the platform from outside, while blob, files, queue, and table live at the core. Now, here's the key idea that ties everything together, the storage account. A storage account is the top-level container for all your blob, files, queue, and table data. Lock in two ideas. First, it is a unique namespace. Every object you store gets a web address built from your account name, and because that name becomes part of the internet's naming system, a DNS subdomain, it must be globally unique across all of Azure. Nobody else, anywhere in the world, can have the same account name as you. Second, it is your management and billing boundary. Redundancy, default encryption, networking, and billing are all configured per account, and everything in that account is billed together. The naming rules come up often, so commit them to memory. A storage account name is 3 to 24 characters, uses only lowercase letters and numbers, no hyphens and no capitals, and must be globally unique. 3 to 24, lowercase and digits, globally unique. For nearly everything, the recommended account type is standard general purpose version 2, often written GP versus 2. It supports all four services. Premium tiers exist for specific services and use faster solid-state storage. But here's a crucial gotcha. You cannot change an account's type after you create it. If you need a different type, you create a brand new account and copy the data across. We'll cover account creation in the next episode. Let's make the structure concrete, because this single pattern explains every address and every permission you'll ever set. The hierarchy is always the same. Account, then service, then a container level. Then the object itself. Account, service, container, object. Only the word for that middle level changes per service. In blob storage, the container level is literally called a container, and the object is a blob. In files, it's a file share, and the object is a file or directory. In queues, it's a queue, and the object is a message. In tables, it's a table, and the object is an entity, which you can think of as a row. Same shape every time. Account, service, container, object. Now let's turn that hierarchy into web addresses, because addresses in Azure storage are wonderfully predictable. Since your account name is a DNS subdomain, each service has its own endpoint. A standard endpoint is simply HTTPS, then your account name, then a fixed domain for that service. Here are the four to memorize, and I'll spell the domains in words. For all four, it's your account name, then dot, then the service word, then .core.windows.net. So blob is account name, .blob.core.windows.net. Files is .file, queue is .queue, and table is .table, each followed by core.windows.net. Two specialized forms also exist, again followed by core.windows.net.dfs for a data lake, when blob storage has a hierarchical namespace turned on, and .web for a static website. To address a specific object, you just append its path to the service endpoint. So a blob lives at your account name, .blob.core.windows.net, then a slash, the container name, another slash, and the blob name. Quick drill. If your account is named SalesData, its file's endpoint is salesdata.file.core.windows.net. Easy, once the pattern clicks. A couple of practical notes. Always prefer the secure protocol, HTTPS. Treat the endpoint hostname as stable, but never hardcode the numeric internet address it resolves to, because the underlying records can change without warning. Honor the naming system's time to live, and let it resolve fresh. And stick to these standard endpoints. Since the newer Azure DNS Zone endpoint form is still in preview and is slated for retirement. Let's go a little deeper on blobs, just the conceptual minimum. Blob is an acronym. It stands for Binary Large Object, and it's Microsoft's object store for unstructured data. A container groups blobs much like a folder, and a container name must itself be a valid DNS name, 3 to 63 characters, lowercase letters, numbers, and hyphens, with no two hyphens in a row. One account can hold unlimited containers, and one container, unlimited blobs. There are three blob types, and the mnemonic is BAP, block, append, page. A block blob is optimized for uploading and reading large objects in blocks, your general purpose choice for files, images, video, and backups, scaling to roughly 190 terabytes. An append blob is optimized for append-only writes, where you only ever add to the end, perfect for logging and audit trails. And a page blob is optimized for random reads and writes in small pages, exactly what virtual hard disks need, so page blobs back Azure managed disks. So remember, BAP, block for general use, append for logs, page for disks. Now Azure Files, again just the essentials. Azure Files gives you fully managed file shares in the cloud, and the magic is that it speaks real file share protocols. That means an operating system or application can mount it like an ordinary network drive, with no code changes at all. It supports the SMB protocol, mountable from Windows, Linux, and macOS, and the NFS protocol, mountable from Linux when you use a premium FileShares account, plus a REST interface. The big value is that many machines can share the same files at once, reading and writing together. You can also cache those shares on-premises using Azure File Sync, and you can reach a file by its address combined with a temporary access token called a Shared Access Signature, or SAS. We'll get into that authentication later. Finally, limits. Because Azure storage is massive but not infinite. A single standard general purpose version 2 account has published scale targets, and you should design so a busy account never slams into a ceiling. The headline numbers, and always confirm the current ones, are roughly these. Maximum capacity per account, about 5 petabytes. Maximum request rate, about 20,000 requests per second. Inbound and outbound data rates run into the tens of gigabits per second, depending on your region and redundancy choice. And you're allowed up to 250 storage accounts per region per subscription, raisable to 500 with a quota increase. So why does this matter? Because these limits are all per account. If one workload pushes so hard that a single account starts throttling, the standard fix is not to fight the limit, it's to spread that high throughput workload across multiple storage accounts. That's a scale out or partitioning strategy, and it works because each account brings its own fresh allowance of capacity and request rate. Treat the published figures as planning guidance, not contractual maximums. So let's gather what to carry with you on your walk. First, the five platform promises, DSSMA. Durable, secure, scalable, managed, accessible. Second, the four core data services, BFQT. Blob for unstructured objects, files for shared files, queue for messages, table for NoSQL entities. With disks, Elastic SAN, container storage, and NetApp files orbiting outside. Third, the storage account is both a globally unique namespace and your management and billing boundary, named 3 to 24 lowercase letters and digits, and its type can never change after creation. Fourth, the hierarchy is always account, service, container, object, and the endpoint is your account name, .service.core.windows.net, the four service words being blob, file, queue, and table. And fifth, blob types follow BAP, block, append, page, and scale targets are per account, so when one isn't enough, you scale out across several. That's your foundation. In the next episode, episode 2, we'll turn this architecture into a real, working account, choosing the type, the performance level, and the redundancy, picking a valid name, and walking through the creation workflow in the portal and the command line tools. I'll see you there.